听呢，这个啊，该有话语言的当中 nonsensical。When you try to react against one extreme, you will almost inevitably go to the other extreme. You cannot find a moderate position and stay there. Because the extremist is pulling you this way, and so if you react, you will overreact. That is a very dangerous thing to do. Don't allow your theology to be born in controversy. Allow your theology to be born in study, not in the heat of battle, because that's not the place to make settled and lasting and meaningful positions for life. Now, we believe that God knew what was going to happen, and that there is an indication in this. First of all, in the matter of human nature, everywhere you go, there is some knowledge of God. That is, we have never found a tribe, we have never found any group anywhere that did not have some kind of idea of a God. And that does not mean, of course, that they know about salvation. But it does mean that God has revealed himself as being in his as being there. Now, also, there is a universal knowledge of sin. And think about how that in every culture there is some concept of right and wrong. It may not be your concept, it may not be my concept, it may not be the Bible's concept. But they have established some idea of right and wrong. I had a missionary friend who had served in the Tierra del Fuego, and she was telling me how that nudity there was being without a nose ring. In other words, the women there wore no clothes. But to them, if they were caught without their nose ring, this was, unthinkable. But she said, once they accepted the Lord, the first thing they wanted was clothes. They wanted to cover their nakedness. But they had some standards even before that. There is a universal knowledge. Now, remember, without the Bible, you do not know of the love of God. You do not know of the sacrifice of God. But you know of the being of God. The heavens are there. That there is a God. All right, once you have come to that position, then you can move on from that position, and you see that there is also this consciousness of right and wrong, a distortion, but it is there. And then, in all cultures, there is the idea of sacrifice. That's the reason that they bring their offerings to their idols. That's the reason that they kill chickens and put the blood of a chicken on them, and so on and so forth. The idea, we've got to appease. We've got to make a sacrifice. All of these things are known everywhere. All right. Now, in the scripture is the fulfillment and explanation of the old. We return principally to the old for the revelation of God's purpose. In other words, in the law, we see God's plan that he is going to provide a sacrifice. Now, how do you teach? By repeating, repeating, repeating. All right, now, what was the one thing that was repeated over and over? Blood, blood, blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And God was over and over and over telling them that. Telling them that in every office, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. All right, and in the prophets, through the voice of prophecy, God announced his purpose. He announced that there was going to be a Messiah that would come and make this sacrifice. Jesus, when he died on the cross, fulfilled over 300 prophets. Now just think about that. There is no way that is just as simple by chance. Now, every prophet, every prophet was pointing to Christ. All right, now what was the plan? He who works in an orderly way in nature has not left the salvation of man to haphazard and uncertain experimentation. I heard a missionary Baptist preacher get up. And he says, God tried this and that thing, and God tried this and that thing, and God tried this and that thing, on and on and on. And finally, he's in desperation. Now, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, well, let me go down and die. We'll try that. Nonsense. That's just not so. God didn't try man. In an age of innocence, in an age of conscience, and so on and so on, to see how man, God knew exactly how man was going to react to everything. But he was showing it. Do you realize that even the millennial age, what happened at the end of the millennium? A rebellion. I mean, under ideal environment. the Lord himself ruling, and they are able to raise an army numbering as the sand to fight against the Lord. And that just shows how deep sin is in the human race.
Do you think that's the main purpose for that, to show mankind that he's sin without the devil?
I think that we're just showing constantly that sin is the real issue. But again, he is loose, and he is able to raise the. How would they be willing to follow if they had not been? Ben has prepared his way, like the Lord's way was prepared by John. The thing is, for a thousand years, they've had an abundance, they've had peace. Everything that man says it would take to satisfy him. You know, garment will flourish, and you won't die prematurely. Now, boy, if I could just live for 5 years, that would be crazy. Yeah, and if I could just, if I could just realize that there weren't going to be any war, no depression, and that people would, the streets would be safe to walk. That's what we all say, boy, that really makes a difference. But at the end of 1,000 years of that, I'll be willing to fight against these people that have brought us. Oh, how wicked. But and with love, with concern, with your best interest, our best, their best interest, of course, we'll be in our resolution, but their best interest is involved in anyway, it is something. All right. We believe that God's plan can be known. We believe that the only way it can be known is through the Scripture. You're not going to be able to say, oh, this has been revealed to me. I just thought of something last night. I don't know if you followed this or not, but there was a man at Porterville that was well known as totally dead. He worked there, and suddenly there was an explosion or something that caused him to start killing the other person. And it made news everybody. Yesterday, they re-examined him, and he was again totally dead. But the interesting thing is this. It may match your need that this man, so widely known, could not be. And then he was able to perceive some music, apparently, the very disturbing music to hear, because you don't need signs and talk to people about what was happening in that day. And that there were some things happening. There was a divine healing. But what I'm saying is, if these divine healings that are always claiming, I've healed the dead. Now, here was a man that just had a national healing. Because everybody knew this man. There wasn't any question about this guy faking it. But have you ever seen national news cover anybody? The blind see, the lame walk, the dead rock. They keep saying, well, the news is not innocent. They're not innocent either. They're innocent. And they reported this at great length. Went up and the third day night covered the story. Well, I don't know. They're at a loss with the story. The doctors don't understand what is taking place at all. That's why they made it so. But you see, that's what they'll always say. The doctors just cannot explain this. I went back and the cancer was gone, or the tumor had dissolved and so on. But when something completely inexplicable happen. It doesn't just happen out behind a bush somewhere. They're making claims that just simply are not verified.
They did that in bankruptcy. They do, you know, we've got a few minutes of work you do here, too. But this one woman supposedly appealed there, and she went down, and she was circulating doctor's documents and doctor's signatures on them, everything that she was ill, this and that, and first one thing and another, and everything. And finally, the doctor put out in the newspaper, I did not sign those documents. Those are false.
But that still isn't false.
No.
No. You see, that's
the devil made him do it.
Yeah. Well, it is such an affront to the intelligent people of America. And yet, we, I think it's
Brother Cannon, when I went up to the hospital the other day, and this is a neighbor of mine down the street, which I love very much, he's almost like my father to me. But his son-in-law is one of the big shots for his magic healers up there. And I went up there to see Clarence, and his son had told him not to take medicine for his high blood pressure and everything else. And he was needed to the daughter's healing, all that kind of stuff. And he almost had another stroke. And he fell down and broke his leg in the process. And he was up there in the hospital. I went up there, and I almost cried because I felt, you know, such deep feelings for him. Everybody had seen there. And he's been blown up by a car, and he's been burned all up, he's got a stroke, he had everything in the world happen to him that you can think of that happened to a human being, and still he just keeps on going. You know, he's got the guts of a thousand lions. And anyway, I went up there to him, and I said, Clarence, I told you to stay on your medicine. So, I said, I'm all right. He said, I think the Lord's already healed my leg. And I said, Clarence, I said, I'll tell you what, I said, if there was use of healing today when the Lord's church, I said, I'd get you out of this bed right now. No words, nothing. I'd get you out of here. But it's not fair. I said, you're going to have to realize it and have to deal with it that way. I said, you're going to kill yourself doing it.
That God has built into our body certain healing mechanisms that we're going to have to cooperate with and work with. And these are God-given methods. I can remember kids when I was, be out on the farm and break their arms. Their parents just simply did not have the money or the inclination to bring them to town to get their arms set. But those arms, they'd be crooked. But, went right off. Their arms heal. The bone has a natural knitting ability. And we just need to understand that God has built into us a mechanism to, all we're doing is just cooperating with the natural laws that God has made. But it did grow back together. And it was tragic that it wasn't sick. It's tragic that it had to happen to me, but I've seen others he gives the message of God. He employed all of these, but it's clearly to see that sin, judgment will fall on these people when their rebellion comes. And I think that's the thing that we need to understand. It doesn't make any difference whether you have a law or whether you have a conscience or whether you have a perfect ideal environment. Sin has to be dealt with. You have to repent of it. You have to turn to your sin. You cannot legislate righteousness. You cannot make people anything but what they are. Now, we want to begin now to show you how this salvation came about. And we're going to talk about the person of Christ, because that is salvation. And that's where people go wrong. They don't understand. In other words, Jesus, to most people, is just a good man. He is a good example. He is this, that, or the other. But he is not God manifest in the flesh. He is not the Redeemer. He is not the sacrifice. And so we need to make it very clear what we believe about Christ, particularly in light of some of these heresies, the Gnostics, the Ebionites, the Arians, and so forth. We have all of these people we have here today. What? Arians? Where did you think the Jehovah's Witness got their doctrine? And in areas. So, that is that
chapter.
I think that is what we call an anthropomorphic expression. That is an expression that is used so that we can understand. It is not only used there, but it is used in the book of Jonah concerning what happened at Nineveh. It repented God of the evil that he spoke of. Now, the idea that is conveyed there in just a casual reading is that God changed his mind about destroying Nineveh, but that is not true. The truth of the matter is that God has said, a broken and a contrite heart I will receive. Now that is an immutable law of God. All right, now, in the case of Nineveh, the whole city repented. Now, if God had not received that broken and contrite heart, he would have, those broken and contrite hearts, he would have violated his own, but you see, humans don't understand how God. So in our, it is as though God had changed his mind, but God never changed his mind.
God changes.
Well, he responds, but he knew what he was going to do all the time. There wasn't any question about that. But in other words, these are expressions that are used so that in language that we can understand. Yes, brother.
All right. That's what they call a figure of speech of common speech.
Yeah. In other words, anthropos means man. In other words, we have expressions in the Bible where man-like qualities are given away. His eye is in every place. His arms are not short. Now we don't think about God as having arms. His feet are swift to destruction. You know, we don't think that he wears horses or whatnot. Yeah, but these are expressions that we use so that we can somehow comprehend. What is? In other words, human language is false. It conveys certain things. In other words, when we talk about the person of God, usually when we think of a person, we think of eyes and ears and nose. You know, to us, that's the person. Where the real person inhabits that tabernacle. In other words, this is my tabernacle, this is the tent I live in. And here inside is the real me. But you see, you cannot see me other than the tabernacle. And so the tabernacle we use those expressions so that we can understand the person of God. Now, all right, what kind of worship do they have?
Well, they worship, well, for example, one of all the events come to the place of that's where the life came from, so it's dependent upon that waterfall. So they believe that God dwells in, because that's where they live.
Okay. All right, now, what did they do about the waterfall?
I think they believe in God.
Yes, okay, but. Okay, so yeah, we have sacrificed the time and we have sacrificed in other words, I did not mean necessarily that it has, in other words, bringing money. The Shinto, maybe you've seen some of our missionaries bring back how they'll tie up their little prayer. They just cover. That's a form of sacrifice. In other words, you're sacrificing of yourself, your time,
He never did the flight for me, so.